Laundry Day, the podcast I created as a reason to run a load of laundry while talking to all of you on the internet until it's done. Happy Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on when you're watching this. If you are watching on the tube, how do you like my Halloween costume? In lieu of Halloween and my song Skeletons, I wanted to dress up. So as you can see, this is a little skeleton moment. The wig is just for fun. It has zero meaning. My friend actually told me, I was on FaceTime when I was trying to get this wig on, because as you guys know, if you see me before, I have so much real hair, it's hard to get it under a wig. And my friend saw me in the bald cap and was like, just be Dr. Phil. Like, I don't understand why you have to plug your song here. Like, just be Dr. Phil. So maybe next year. Here is a little clip of the song if you're watching on YouTube, and you can see a clip of me and my friend and collaborator Kings creating the song.
You may not come back from the heart attack I give you. I'm making this clear, but I'm not sure you hear me.
So many of you have reached out to me for a part two on the Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie case. And if Brian Laundrie doesn't put the cherry on spooky season, I don't know what does. This week's Dirty Laundry segment is going to get messy. So keep listening. As you all know, I like to give you the basics of the story, but I also have done extensive research to find other important details and possible details that maybe the media hasn't covered or you just haven't heard. Starting off where we left off last time, remains were found near Grand Teton National Park that were immediately ruled out consistent with Gabby Petito. We would then soon find out that the remains found were, in fact, her. Sad. Now, it took a minute for them to rule her death as a homicide, but it was eventually ruled out as not only a homicide, but death by strangulation. Homicide is the killing of one person caused by another, for those of you who wanted the exact definition. So for sure, we know that somebody out there killed her. So as you can imagine, the world went completely mad over this, and rightfully so. We had already seen news and concerned members of the community standing outside of Brian Laundrie's parents' house for weeks, and they did not cease to continue upon finding out this crucial information in her case. The Laundrie's neighbors actually cashed in on the experience, making up to $3,500 a week to allow media such as CBS, Fox, and ABC to camp out in their yard. So Brian Laundrie is the fiancé of Gabby Petito. If you guys didn't catch my last episode, I recommend you watch that one first so you kind of know like who we're talking about. Now, listen to this. The FBI did not receive a search warrant to finally get into the Laundrie's home until Brian went missing. So the warrant was not granted immediately on account of them believing that he killed Gabby and was technically not related to Gabby's disappearance at all. It was to retrieve clothing and DNA matches to start a search for him, a now missing person. This is where it got really messy. The forces searched for Brian in numerous locations. This search would go on for weeks and weeks. They followed some leads from the public and some by their own suspicions. This search for Brian would cost an estimated $1 million as they had hundreds of people, drones, buggies, helicopters, ATVs, boats, and dogs searching across massive amounts of land for him. This search was getting so much coverage that we would then see that dog, the bounty hunter, would come out of the woodworks and perform his own search for Laundrie. The president of the Peace River Canine Rescue Search Team, Michael Hadsell, estimated that this search would cost taxpayers up to $150,000 a day. Normal crews would scale back after about 36 hours, but as we saw, they searched days on end for Brian Laundrie. Now, as this search unfolds, you'll see Roberta and Chris Laundrie, his parents, going about some sort of normalcy, picking up milk, wearing dresses and sun hats, despite people camping outside of their home and screaming their concerns. You can go look at videos on TikTok or I'm sure on YouTube as well of literally people outside with megaphones screaming at them. And they were just, you know, you'll see footage of Chris Laundrie coming home with milk from the store. Like, I don't know. This is where some interesting theories though came up, because you would have then started to see some interesting videos of the parents gardening out in their yard. So I guess, you know, your son's missing, you just found out that your daughter-in-law to be was murdered, and you're just gardening out back. Neighbors of the Laundrie family and also some different people flying drones have caught footage of this. You can also look that up, but I will try to include as many clips of everything I'm talking about for those of you who are watching the video and not just listening. In the footage, you see that one flower box in their backyard is full of plants, and the other that they were tending to was completely empty. People began to create some theories about an underground bunker, which wouldn't be unheard of in Florida. One girl even showed a diagram of the possible configuration of this alleged bunker that they believed, a lot of people believed Brian was hiding out in. Word would then circulate across the globe about Brian being kept under there. There's even a video where Roberta is, I guess, pulling a weed that appeared sort of as a hand reaching out of the dirt to receive something, maybe a note. I don't know. No one knew. The video was blurry, but later on it somebody had a more clear video and it looked like she was pulling a weed. All of these theories may seem far-fetched, but remember that at this point, the family hadn't assisted in finding Gabby, hadn't passed their condolences onto her family, except through an attorney, so still not direct, and raised zero concern when their son appeared back in town with Gabby's van and no Gabby. So they literally didn't care so much so that they actually took Brian on one last camping trip after his arrival back home. Super weird. I can't grasp this stuff. This is just... Now, we'll later find out that Brian is not in a secret bunker under their home, but they are absolutely not off the hook for their roles in this whole mess. However, that being said, as we uncover the story, it's important to not treat this like a TV show. We're not watching that hit series called You, which I love the show. This isn't for our entertainment, though, and we have to trust that there's misinformation out there and there's information that the law enforcement, in their best attempt to not screw up the case, has kind of kept from us. I mean, we have to believe that. It's fun to conspire, and some conspiracies have come true, but respectfully, these are people's real lives. So when I tell you these theories, don't run with them as facts. Just take interest and keep them in mind. This entire case, people have found the Laundrie's behavior to be pretty strange. It's obvious for whatever reason, they're not against their son, which... ooh, it gives you chills. They didn't offer to help with anything that could be used against them. So, you know, looking for Gabby, they were, I don't know if they're afraid of him looking guilty, but anything that could make Brian look like a bad guy, they just didn't help. They didn't assist in anything like that. But I don't believe that is because they're protecting his innocence. Well, I hate to speculate. We really don't know. But I personally don't believe that they're trying to protect his innocence. If he was so far in the clear and innocent, they'd have been out there looking for Gabby, right? Who in their minds would have possibly been alive. Remember, it was days before we found out that she was dead. So you'd think they would have been out there looking for her if they were for sure, like they were positive Brian was innocent. This is their daughter-in-law to be, who I've mentioned before, even lived with them for a time. If their son was so innocent, he would have also been on the front line searching for his missing girlfriend, I mean, fiance. It was all too perfect. The way that they concealed Brian and then he went missing before officials could find the remains of Gabby Petito or even get a warrant into his home. Don't run with the worst case scenario, which some have said is that Chris Laundrie assisted Brian in the murder or that they knew he killed her. But they 100% knew something was wrong when their son showed up without Gabby, who would soon be ruled missing, which should have shocked them, and then ruled dead. Going out for milk and gardening are just not behaviors that I think my parents would have if this were them. I think that's why most people are shocked at all this footage we've seen of Brian Laundrie's parents. Now, this entire time that Brian has been deemed missing, it has not been a great time to be, let's say, an average white dude with a bald head. Many alleged spottings led the world on a wild goose chase in the search for Brian. You can even see people like this guy, I think he named himself at Not Brian Laundrie on TikTok, being spotted in public places as him. I will add some other clips where people allegedly saw Brian, which we now know was likely not him. Now, fast forward to now, Chris and Roberta assisted the authorities in the search for their son last Wednesday. And this is where a huge uproar has occurred. They searched the Carlton Reserve, which, by the way, has been scoured by dogs and helicopters and authorities for hundreds of hours already. Remember that. Take a note of that. After more than a month of searching, the reserve, I guess, and a ton of other places. I don't have that all written down, but as you've seen on the news, they've literally searched tons of places. Dog the Bounty Hunter's like out there searching somewhere. So it's been a month. They find remains that are believed to be Brian's, along with a notebook and a few belongings were found. You want to know who they were found by? None other than his own parents. You can now see how the world went a little bit wild over the fact that they decided on one random afternoon. Okay, people have been searching for him for a month. They just like wake up. Oh, we're going to go help them search for Brian today in a majorly searched area on foot and find belongings that they believe to be Brian's. Chris found a dry bag, which is a bag used by many campers to keep their belongings dry. And in the dry bag would be a notebook believed to be Brian's, along with a sort of backpack, I believe, where authorities would then find alleged remains of Brian Laundrie. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll include a clip of Roberta holding the bag, which is a bit strange considering it's evidence in a million-dollar search for a person of interest. But go off. The police would soon report the remains as skeletal, which sent people down into some crazy conspiracies about how did he decompose into skeleton so fast? And what if he pulled a move from the show You, which I mentioned earlier, and cut off some limbs to make them believe he's dead? What if the remains were planted by Roberta and Chris themselves? What if the remains are staged remains of another missing person who they want to appear as Brian? What if they paid the cops to claim that he's dead? But we would soon find out that they are parts of a skull that includes dental records, which matched Brian Laundrie. So, no, they didn't just find a bunch of teeth laying around. They saw something there that was like, oh, crap, this is a part of a human. And it was skeletal remains of somebody's head, obviously. Maybe more. It's unclear. But it had teeth in it. This information does not stop the speculations of planted evidence. Personally, the conspiracy that helps me sleep at night is that they killed their awful murdering son and it took them this long to plant evidence somehow. Then I think they deserve immunity and an award and no jail time. That's what I like to believe because I really, really, really hate to think that they support their son in what we believe has gone down. One detail that bothers many people is how the evidence was found not far from the entrance of a highly searched area. Officials claim the reason the evidence was missed all this time is due to that area being flooded until now, which could potentially explain the quick decomposition of the remains. It still, however, doesn't explain the odd timing of the Laundries appearing on scene and finding their son's things. That is super strange. The Laundrie's family lawyer, who, by the way, claims to have known Brian since he was a little boy, has spoken to the news and says that his opinion on the area is that the area was underwater where the dogs just couldn't sniff out the remains possibly or was just overlooked by search parties being so close to the entrance. Y'all on your own time need to go watch more of that lawyer and see what he says. He's super careful with his words, but it's interesting. The Laundries will not be holding a service in memory of their son, as I'm sure they know nobody would attend. Something interesting this entire case is that we've heard virtually nothing from anybody who was in Brian's life prior to him becoming a suspect in Gabby's murder. No best friends, no cousins, literally nobody. The most we finally received was 7 days ago, an ex-coworker of Brian named Michael Livingston. He was a landscaper who worked at a nursery where Brian worked in 2017 and 2018. And he claims that Brian was, quote, the kind of guy who would get pissed off pretty quickly, in a statement saying, quote, he never came across as the kind of person that would be the killing type, but he did have a tendency to be, I don't want to say the wrong thing and make him sound worse than he already is. He was the kind of guy who would get pissed off pretty quickly, unquote. Another random interesting thing in this case is that 2 days ago at the Carlton Reserve, a girl named Chronicles of Olivia, I believe, found a water bottle. I'll attach photos for those of you who are watching the video that matched those a water bottle that belonged to Gabby Petito, as you can see in photos of her van, which I'll also try to attach. To give a devil's advocate, you can find this same bottle on REI on Amazon, which is probably why the officials turned down the usage of this bottle as any evidence of this case. That same girl, Olivia, claims to have found bones, not deemed human yet, but just bones, and a rope hanging from a tree near where Brian's remains were found. The Northport police have come out saying that these things have no connection to the case, which is why it's important to not just believe it, these things just because it fits in with the creepy, spooky vibes of the story. Many things have been deemed as false information along the way. There's also a fake suicide note that has gone viral on TikTok, and many impressionable minds see these things, perform no research of their own, and spread this false information as true. We don't know what was in his notebook, nor do we know that he committed suicide, technically. Something interesting that's being said is that the United States, apparently in the United States, you can't charge a dead person. So Brian cannot be charged in the murder of Gabby Petito. However, I'm not really sure that that matters, as he's dead and can't plea or do any time. That being said, his parents could still be questioned, and I really, really hope that they will. Now, a lot of upset has come from this case getting so much attention. People go missing quite often and don't receive media coverage or million-dollar searches for them. You can imagine the pain that this case brought to families of missing persons who didn't have the world looking for them. Some people have pointed out that it seems that blonde-haired, fair-skinned girls get coverage. You know, girls that look like Gabby. And only average white dudes like Brian get as much time as he did to run away from the police before even having a warrant or arresting the guy. I can't disagree that there are hundreds of indigenous people who need more coverage and hundreds of people who don't appear as Gabby. But I'd also like to debunk this theory a little bit, so stay with me, because there are tons of fair-skinned blonde girls who don't get any coverage as well, who don't get helicopters, they don't get search parties. I believe that this case blew up, unlike many others, for a few reasons. I think one of the big reasons is that Gabby and Brian had a huge footprint on the internet. There were videos and photos documenting their journey and captions, and it caused people to feel like these at-home detectives who could really get to know these, quote, characters. The body cam footage also skyrocketed this case. If you remember when that body cam footage came out, people, I mean, it's about an hour long, so it was an hour of incriminating behavioral evidence supporting that Brian Laundry was the killer of his fiancée, Gabby Petito. I also think that after the strange global pandemic locking people inside of their homes and limiting social exposure, people really hung on to true crime things. Like, don't forget, we had the Tiger King or fully faked plots like that of the show You that I talked about earlier. I think people latch on to doing their own detective work and feel some kind of importance in this fantasy that they might find evidence on their own. And I think it doesn't matter because communities getting together to find someone often does bring a person home. Or it brings an important lead to the authorities, and I'd want the world to do that if it were my daughter. That being said, if you have any other open cases that you do think deserve way more coverage than they're getting, I am all ears and I would love to help bring light onto these cases. I know that ever since I've been covering the Gabby Petito story, it's a little different than my normal podcast style, but I love doing this research for you guys, and a ton of you have reached out to me wanting to hear all these details in one place because it is a bit hard to follow. So if you have somebody that you want me to cover, I know that on TikTok, a few of you were saying that there are indigenous women who go missing all the time and don't get any media coverage. Send me these cases. I will help you do research and I will try to help get the word out as best as I can. Woo! So we leave each other, I guess, with this. We technically still don't know if Brian killed Gabby Petito. We don't know if Brian Laundry committed suicide. We don't know if his family has anything to do with her disappearance, his disappearance. We are left with a lot of questions that we may not get the answer to, considering Brian Laundry is a crucial part of knowing what truly happened to Gabby out there, and he's dead. Well, allegedly dead, if you're a conspiracy theorist. No. Brian Laundry, his remains were found. So I don't know where this goes next. I'm not sure that anybody knows where this goes next. I do believe that the police have a pretty good idea of what happened to Gabby by now. I just don't know where they're going next with the public and what we get to know. All of this story being said, please enjoy your spooky season. Remember, while spooky, Brian Laundry and Gabby Petito's case is a real one, and it affects real people. So be kind, be honest, don't plant false evidence for clout, and please show your condolences to the grieving. Say one nice thing, you guys, to one other person and make the world a better place. Bye.